look out for.
You know, your father has that feeling for you. And he looks out, whether you say it in Hebrew or whether you say it in Greek, he looks out for both the good and the bad.
Okay.
He's very alert. As a matter of fact, the etymology of the word in the Greek is, you might say, is scopio, and it means to scope out critically, really to put a scope on it. You might think of it as a telescope. He watches, okay? He even watches secretly, in a sense, meaning he knows what's happening, he knows what's going on, and he looks out for you. When you're doing right, when you're fulfilling his word, he's going to take care of you. He will always see that those that come against you get ultimately what they got coming to them, okay? And one of the things that upsets him most is shepherds that do not properly feed the sheep. He bases parable, or I should say figure of speech after figure of speech after figure of speech throughout the word in that vein. Feed my sheep. Okay. And this is one of the last things he would say to Peter three different times. Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And feed them what? The truth, God's word. Having said that, open your Bibles, if you would, to the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. And we read there in verse 1 of Jeremiah 23, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Meaning, the Lord set up a pasture in this earth, and it's pretty good. It is pretty good. But then you have certain pastors that come along and literally draw the sheep away from the true pasture. Now, that's what a pastor is supposed to do, is supposed to take care of a pasture, okay? To make sure there's plenty to eat there, plenty of food, plenty of nourishment, to carry someone through all the way to the end, that they're not deceived. They're not confused. They're not upset. And do not ever think for a moment God doesn't look out for this. Okay? Look out for you. Or probably better said, looks out for his sheep, all of them. He doesn't like for people to hanky with them, especially if they claim to be a tender of that pasture. Verse 2, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against, not for, that's why I said, good and bad. He looks for both good and bad. Why? He's the judge. Against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock. You didn't hold them to the real truth. You scattered them and driven them away and have not visited them. Visited is the word we're going for here, pakak. It means to analyze both good and bad, to watch, to look out for. You didn't visit them. What he's saying is you didn't look out for them. You didn't care about them. You only cared about yourself. And have not visited them. The word visited is your key word. Behold, I will visit upon you, the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. In other words, I'm going to take care of my sheep. I'm going to see to it. I'm going to look out for them. You may not have looked out for them, but I'm going to. Beloved, that's why he wrote you this letter. Called the Word of God, so that you would have the instructions for yourself, whereby if you have some evil pastor, tender of a pasture, that doesn't feed you properly, you've got it for yourself to make your own decision, to make up your own mind, because God said, I'm going to feed my sheep, and he does through his word. So our word there, in the form of visit, is pakad, and it is spelled in the Hebrew. It is spelled p a qua, and pronounced pakad. And it's to look out for in a good and a bad, both good and a bad sense. Our Father does it. Why? Again, why? He's the judge. But that is His promise, that He's always there looking out for you, regardless of how confused you may become because of some misleading. God's going to be there for you in His Word. He continues, verse 3, "And I will gather," we're going on future now, "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again in their fold, to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." How do they do that? With His truth. If you will stick to His truth and feed His pasture, you can't stop the growth. You can't even keep up with the growth. If you'll do it His way, if you follow Him instead of man. You know, our Father looks out for us. You don't have to worry about it. It's His promise. When He says, "I will visit," that's exactly what He meant. And He looks at both the good, that is to say, the good you do, but He also looks at the bad people try to do against you. And He takes note and He keeps record. He knows how to take names and kick dragon, all right? And He expects you to take care of what you can and what you can't. He can handle it real well, okay? So they're definitely going to increase. Verse 4, "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." Lacking what? Truth. They're going to have it. That's His promise to you. Now, in a sense, that's future. You know why? We can even look toward the millennium. That's when the real truth really just pours out, gushes, and comes forth. But also in the end times, His election, that truth would be poured out upon them, and they would be fruitful, and they would show increase. Because what? They lack nothing as far as truth is concerned, because they have the Word of God with understanding, with knowledge, with wisdom. And the assurance, a guarantee, that God looks out for you. And again, I have to remind, both in a good and a negative sense, and you that do good, He's going to see that you're blessed, that you're cared for, that you're loved. Why? Because He loves you. Verse 5, "Behold, the days come," it's going to happen, "the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." That's to say, the invisible God? No, but the visible God, when the Word became flesh and walked among us, that is to say, Jesus Christ. When He paid that price, He was watching out for you, that on repentance your sins are forgiven, and you're clean. You got a fresh start. You're a Christian. You're a Christ man. That makes it real good. Why do we have that? God looks out for you. Verse 6, "In His days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely." That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. "And this is His name whereby He shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." That's Yahweh Tsidkenu. And that's exactly what He is. He does right. And He that does right watches out for you. You can't complain about that. You know what right is. That means you are treated right in every sense as far as He is concerned. He looks out for you. What a Father we have. He is blessed in that He has children that love Him in return, and that makes His day. That's what He appreciates from you. Let's go with verse 7. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." We talk about that a lot. He parted the Red Sea. He fed them with manna from heaven. That's going to be secondary. You know why? Verse 8, "But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. That's the millennium. That's looking forward to that time. Why can we count on that? God looks out for you. It's His promise. He said, I will revisit them. I will watch out for them. I'm watching both the good and the bad. I'll take care of the bad, and I'll know how to take care of the good because I love them and I lead them. Let's turn to the next to the last book in the Old Testament. Let's go to with Zedekiah, chapter 11. Among the minor prophets, I want to pick it up with verse 12, and again the subject is, looks out for you, God does, our Father. Verse 12, and it reads, "And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." And of course, this is prophecy concerning Judas betraying Jesus Christ and the 30 pieces of silver that was given. It was written a long time before it happened. Verse 13, "And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." And do you know what that bought you? That bought you the potter's field, that when your body being your earthen vessel pot, when it's broken, the price that was paid for him on the cross can heal it. He can fix it. When it's broken in 1,000 pieces of shared potsherd, He can put it back together. He can mend your heart. He can bring you back into the fullness of the pasture. He can feed you. He can visit you. He paid the price for it on that cross. Verse 14. Then, do you know who is buried in the potter's field? People that are too poor to be buried somewhere else. People that nobody else would have. Christ will take them. Okay? That's His elect. Verse 14. "Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel." And he did. 15. "And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd." Here again we come to this warning. This foolish shepherd, of course, is the Antichrist in the end times. He's going to play shepherd. You know who your shepherd is, don't you? You know, you can read of it in Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So you stick to that shepherd and you'll never go hungry. You'll never be lost. You will always be in His fold. The fold is where they bed down at night peacefully. He promises you, he said, "You've got a really bad, foolish shepherd coming." Claims to be Jesus even, if you would. 16, "For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit." There's our word again. He's not going to look out for those that be cut off. That's to say weak, lost. "Neither shall seek," that's the plow for the young one. That means one starving in the Hebrew. "Nor heal that is broken." He doesn't care. "Nor feed that standeth still, that's so starved and weak it can't even move." He could care less, this foolish shepherd that's coming. What a savior. He's no savior, he's a fake. Okay? "But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces." In other words, he deceives them to their destruction. Why? He wants company in the pit. He wants company in the lake of fire. He even in the first earth age wanted that mercy seat. That has a Messiah connotation, meaning he wanted to be Messiah. He wanted to be the one that could sit and say, "You do whatever you want to, I'll forgive you. chloride. That's really what he wanted. Rather than to protect that seat, he wanted to be the one that controlled mercy, the people. But mainly, it was pride. He wanted you to say, what a pretty boy am I. Love me and I'll love you. Well, as God said here, he doesn't have any love in his heart. He doesn't care. Now, there are many things in this world that will tempt you and try to draw you and will lead you. And when you're one of God's elect, I can guarantee you who it most likely is that's pulling you. It's Satan himself. He wants you. He knows who God's elect are. And did God say, maybe that foolish shepherd is coming? No, I'm going to do it. I'm the one that's going to bring him. And kind of that tests you. Have you read the letter? If you've read the letter and you know the truth, it's no offense to you. You know how to handle him. You know how to take care of him. You know how to take names and keep dragon. And you know that Christ gave you power over all stupid shepherds. Now, that doesn't include all shepherds. You know, I get blamed for knocking preachers. I don't talk against good preachers. You've never heard me say one bad word against good shepherds or good teachers, just the ones God's mad at, okay? Then you'll hear me come down on them, but you won't hear me do any judging, okay? I know better than that, because when you start judging other people, God starts judging you, and that's not pretty sometimes, okay? Not pretty at all. But God promises he's going to bring this fake. So then who should be surprised? I can tell you, somebody that doesn't study God's Word, that is void of truth, whereby God can't look out for them, because you have to earn the right for Him to look out for you before He's going to do it. Meaning, you have to ask Him. You have to love Him. That's the qualifier. Last verse, 17. Woe to the idle shepherd, that means the fake, that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall utterly be darkened. The right arm and the right eye symbolizes strength of the body, your strength. He says, I'm going to dry all his strength up to where he won't have a bit. Why? He's going to be locked up in the pit by Michael the archangel, as it is written in Revelation chapter 20. And he can't bother you or anybody else during that period of time. So, it doesn't pay to mess with the idle shepherd, okay? The Father sent you a shepherd. He's called the Branch. And that's from Virgo, even if you want to take it from the Star Bible. And I'll stop right there. We'll be changing years. The one that is Zamach in the Hebrew tongue. Promised, guaranteed, that he would be the shepherd that would look out for you, and he would be right, always righteous. But the important thing, beloved, for you is to know and let it settle in. God looks out for you. Why? He loves you. He really, really cares. And he looks out for both in the good and the bad sense. But he knows when someone does you wrong. Hey, he puts it in the book. He scopia. He puts a scope on it. He knows. It could also be translated the skeptic. Man, he watches them. He's skeptical of anybody that tries to say they want to be a shepherd. Don't ever think he doesn't check them out. He checks them out big time, because it's his sheep. They don't belong to anybody else. They belong to him, and he wants them fed properly with a good, healthy diet, which is to say the Word of God. That's what people have a famine for in the end times, is hearing the real truth of God's Word. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, God looks out for you. He looks out for all of his sheep. Verse We're going to pick it up in verse 10. And the word we're going here is baka, B-A-K-A-K-A, in the Hebrew tongue. And again, it means, here the word is seek in the English. Okay, but it means to look out for, in the sense here, an agriculture term in the etymology of the word, meaning to plow. Okay, you ever plowed Irish potatoes to hunt them out, to get them out of there? Okay, plow not to lose any. Okay, meaning I'm going to turn it over and I'm going to look out for you. That's what the word seek is utilized as here. Let's pick it up with verse 10. In chapter 34, the great book of Ezekiel, and it reads, "Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." Verse 9, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand." I'm going to check it out. This is why you'll hear in the New Testament, the judgment begins at the pulpit. "And cause them to cease from feeding the flock." A bunch of garbage. "Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." They just rip them off, lie to them, teach false doctrines. You don't have to understand God's word. Listen to me, you're going to fly away. Okay? Boy, when somebody tells you you don't have to understand God's word, wouldn't that make you suspicious? I would hope that it would. I would hope that you would know you were listening to a fruitcake. Okay? Because that's anyone that would tell you you don't have to understand God's word is they're chewing right at you, friend. They're trying to take God's place. Realize that. Verse 11, here's what we came here for. "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I," that's emphatic, okay, "will both search my sheep and seek them out." Baka, I'm going to find them. I know where they are. I'm going to look out for them. That's a promise, and he said it emphatically. He's tired of it, of his children being misled, being confused, not knowing what to believe sometimes, oftentimes. And he doesn't like it. He says, "I'm going to do it myself." And through the Son, he does and shall. Verse 12, "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek," that's our word, look out for, "baka, and out, I'll plow out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day," when Satan, the prince of darkness, overshadowed the light or attempted to, but my yet kept that light coming, and Christ is that light, that truth, that word, the good shepherd. Verse 13, "And I," that's our Father again, "will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country." That's our Father speaking, and ultimately it shall come to that in the millennium. That's his promise. But let me give you a secret. You don't have to wait until then to share in the pasture. That's why he wrote you this letter, so that man can't deceive you, that you feed rightly. Verse 14, "I will feed them in a good pasture," absorb this now, "and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be." That's where they can bed down. There shall they lie in a good field, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. That should bring a scripture to your mind. Do you know what it is? A good pasture, he'll let you lie there. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in good pastures and beside still water." That means water that runs deep. The water is Christ that stays with me forever. That's his promise, beloved. You don't have anything to worry about. God looks out for you. So don't ever let man shake you. And that is God's promise, and God is a God of His Word. You can count on it. The word seek. I will, if it even takes plowing, I'll plow it out. I'll look. I'll find. I know where they are. Verse 15. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. That means you're going to have peace, and you're going to have safety. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to every night just before dusk. I feed wild animals. And fawns and does come into my yard and lie down. I mean, you can count 8 or 10 of them just chewing their cud and laying inside mowed lawns. You know. And you don't have to ask, you know why they're there? I feed them. They're dumb animals, but they're not stupid. Okay. They come because I feed them and they know I love them. And they know they are safe there because I'll blow a wolf's head off that tries to bother the little lamb, the fawns, okay? You can see that. I don't know why I'm sharing this other than I pictured it in my own mind, and it gives me such contentment to see them lying in broad daylight in a yard. I don't have to have croc deer. I got the real thing, okay? Because I feed them, and they got good pasture, and they're at peace. Do you understand what peace means, peace of mind? They have it because they know I'm going to take care of them and that they're safe there. Well, you can rest assured and feel safe because God takes care of you. He looks out for you, and He also looks out for the good, and He looks out for the bad, okay? In other words, He looks out. You don't have a thing to worry about. You take care of what you can, and what you can't, your Father can handle it. Okay? You got it made. One more verse, 16. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. All that was misled and misguided, and will bind up that which was broken, hearts broken, minds broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. It's coming. Judgment day is coming. You might say, well, I thought He was a God of love. He is. He destroys that offends the flock. Okay? That's parental instinct. You know, hey, you want to get in trouble, you can have a real peaceful mama, but don't mess with her kids. In a real bad way, or I guarantee you, you'll have a warpath going, okay? Mama's peaceful, but don't bother her little ones. Well, don't bother God's children either. He doesn't like it. That's why you can take assurance from that. He loves you. Let's go to the New Testament, Luke. Luke chapter 6. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 7 will get us there better. Luke chapter 7, everybody wants to deal and has a difficulty understanding death. You know, death is a part of living, and God also looks out for you in that. Jesus had just gone. He was walking by, and a Roman official come up and said, "My servant's real ill. I know you don't have to go there. I know that you can speak, and it'll happen." And wow, Jesus, I don't see that kind of faith in my people. And he spoke, and the Roman officer's friend was healed. That had just happened where we picked this up in chapter 7, verse 11. Let's go with it. God looks after you even through a time of death. Verse 11, and it came to pass the day after that Roman soldier, that he went into a city called Nain, which means beauty. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people, a lot of people other than his disciples, right along. 12. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. I mean, what does that mean to you? Well, it was a big funeral. She must have been a good woman. And he must have been a good boy, because it was a large funeral. Okay? 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. Don't cry. Verse 14. And he came and touched the briar. He touched the coffin. That's all he had to do. Touch the coffin. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And here we have the widow mother Israel, and Christ's message delivered her children back to her alive. And you have some Christians that preach somebody's out here in a hole in the ground. They're not. They're with Christ. Instantly, the Spirit goes back to the Father that gave it. God looks out for His own. This is why Jesus taught Luke chapter 16, a few chapters after this, and said this is what it's like with the rich man and Lazarus. They're both conscious. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. The rich man, who was wicked as sin, could see Abraham. Was Abraham dead? Was he in some grave? No, he was there. Everyone is. Even Satan is in heaven at this time, to be cast out soon to do his dirty work here on earth. His bad spirit still floats the earth. But the idea is, God takes care of that widow. God cares. And through this one entity, He gives us His compassion. Do you realize that God has that kind of compassion even through the Son? That when that woman was crying, it was her only son. He went over and He touched it. The life giver, He that can quicken, brought the boy back to that mother. Verse 16, and there came a fear on all. That's awe. Awe came upon them. And they glorified God, and saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited His people. Baka. God has visited us. God has looked out for us. God is watching over us. Even these that were, some of them not even unbelievers, knew that. Because they saw death change to life and God's love for His children. To complete, let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 5. The Greek word that we've been bouncing around is quite long. It's episkeptomihi. Okay, episkeptomihi. But scopia is probably the etymology of it. It means scope it out. Check it out. Look it out. Look over. He looks over us. If you grow into a position where you have to overlook a family, your own life, or whatever position you have, we're going to cover four verses and we're going to conclude this particular lecture. Okay, this is His word on to look out for, and He places you in the midst of it this time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to give you some advice. Who am also an elder. I also am an elder. That means I have a working knowledge of God's Word. I've got some years in it, okay, experience. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter was there, okay. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I intend to partake of it. Why, I've earned it. That's what Peter is saying here. Verse 2. Now remember, this is the one that Jesus spoke three times. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. That means on whichever level they can understand. Whether it be kings and queens of the ethnos, whether it be Israel or Judah, or whether it be Gentile. You teach my word to all, whosoever will. 2, Peter speaking, feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight, that's the word, skopia. Search it out. It means to oversee, to look out for them. It doesn't mean to be some big, high, mighty boss with a whip driving a buggy team. Okay? It means be gentle. Look out for them. Take care of them. Feed them. Nurture them. Guard them. Protect them. Not by constraint. Don't you have the oversight by constraint. Power of man. Okay? But willingly. Not for filthy lucre. Don't ever do it for money. But of a ready mind. Do you know what a ready mind is? A mind is that you have your mind centered in God's Word. And pretty well have a working knowledge. But you know what's more important than anything, especially for a lay person, is to know how to find it. You don't have to have it all memorized up here. If you know how to use the Strong's Concordance, if you know how to find the answer to a question, don't ever be ashamed to say, well, let's look it up. I don't know, let's look it up. It doesn't bother me, and I've been teaching for over 50 years. Doesn't bother me at all to say, well, let's check it out. Okay? So that's what you want to be, of a sound mind, ready to go, ready to help, ready to oversee, ready to serve Him. Ready to be an example, not in power, not in might, not by force, but willingly through the love of God, as God loves and oversees, as God overlooks, as God looks over. Do the same. Scopio, scope it out. Check it out. And be skeptical, for there's false ones will come along. You see, that's part of it, friend. Like it or lump it, you got to know how to protect the sheep, to lead them, and to warn them. I wish we could say all you have to do is enter into the rose garden and it's a beautiful life. Well, you know, they don't get any beautiful or better informed than Christ was, and look what they did to Him. Look what the world did to Him. They crucified Him. So, handle it, handle it, handle it. All right? You can do it. Neither as being lords over, don't lord it over anyone, God's heritage. Why? It's God's. It belongs to Him. And He's the one that's the overseer of overseers. Got it? But being in samples to the flock, you be a good example. Okay? You know, we all have trouble doing that because we all have shortcomings. But hey, that's okay. Repent and don't give up. Keep trying. Do it. Do it. Do it. Okay? 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Do you understand that? A crown of glory to participate in God's house, in God's truth. That of being an overseer, that doesn't mean in the sense as he stated so adequately, through force, but through love. Just as God Himself oversees His children because He loves them. And He observes both the good and the bad. And He knows how to set the record straight. And you know, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. To get what you deserve and to not receive what somebody else deserves is a good thing. Because maybe nobody else is as good as you are, okay? So you deserve the very best. So let our Father know that. Love Him, but know that He is righteous, and that means He's going to do it His way, and you're going to be all right, okay? He's going to take care of you. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Thank You, Father, for Your elect, Father, for all of the children, Father. Bless them. And Father, Your word is the feed, the food that we consume, Father, and we thank You for it. In Yahshua, Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
God is totally fair. And on that day, you will get everything you've got coming to you, good, bad, or ugly, okay? And, you know, some people will automatically go on a guilt trip. When you repent, it's erased. It doesn't exist. That's the beauty of salvation. Anonymous. I'm very careful about anonymous questions. Are you saying Kenites are blacks? Absolutely not. Okay. Adam, when you say the word Adam, from which Eve came, you're saying ready complected. And the Kenites were the offspring of Eve, who was ready complected, certainly not black. Okay. Anne from Arkansas. Now, I would say this. Kenites have the opportunity then after to mix with any and make it a practice to intermix into other races. But certainly that doesn't mean all of them are. Anne from Arkansas. My heart is heavy, and I'm at the point where I don't know what to do. I have this daughter, and she is living with another woman. She keeps wanting me to come and stay the weekend. I used to go see her when she was married. But since she's got her life in this man, I don't want to butt in, but a lot of single mothers have to set up, if they are both divorced, set up housekeeping. It doesn't mean anything, okay? Nothing wrong with that. Now, unless you absolutely know, I would be very careful how I judged, all right? I know nothing about it, so I have no right to say anything other than naturally I have to say, blood is thicker than water. And be sure you're not, just be real, real sure you're not judging your daughter, okay? And she, even then, she's still your daughter. Cappy from Illinois. I was watching a certain TV minister. He said that Elijah was foretold as the one who they say will come back in the spirit through John the Baptist and of Christ. Well, that's not true. John the Baptist came forth in Luke chapter 1, what is it, verse 16, 15, in the spirit of Elijah. But as it is written in Malachi, the very last three verses in the Bible, of the Old Testament, last three verses in the Old Testament tells you that before the great day of the Lord, Elijah shall return. Elijah didn't die, okay? God took him. He didn't die. And Elijah appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah himself, or his spirit, shall return before the great day of the Lord. That's written. But don't take man's word for it. you'll always get crossed up. Read it for yourself. It's the last chapter, chapter 4 of Malachi. Last four verses in the Old Testament. R.L. from California. Thank you for your teaching. You're welcome. When the false Messiah appears on earth, will all or some of us be changed to spiritual bodies? No, absolutely not. The only way you would be changed to a spiritual body while the Antichrist was here on earth is if you were to die a natural death or whatever, and then you would automatically change into a spiritual body. But we, the flesh, I'll answer it in this way. The flesh does not change into spiritual bodies until the seventh trump, okay? Seventh trump. Antichrist comes at the sixth. David from Georgia. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, resist not evil. The Greek word to resist means to oppose. Does this mean we are never to oppose evil and to have it, leave it up to the higher authority and appointed leaders of our land? Or is there a point where it becomes necessary to openly protect any preconceived priest injustices? Well, what is it talking about, first of all? You see, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, it's talking to people that are going to share God's word. And it says, if you're sharing God's word with somebody, and they oppose you, in other words, you might be telling someone that the Kenites, the children of Cain, are still with us this day. And you might be telling some really holy joke. And he might reach out and say, how dare you say such a thing, and slap you. Then you caused it. Okay. So that's when you turn the other cheek. But any time, as a man, woman, or child of God, that somebody taps you for no reason at all, you let it be known instantly, you're not going to put up with it. Okay. You don't turn the other cheek unless you cause it. And it has, the subject is those that teach God's word. Okay, if somebody just comes up and pops you one, I'm not going to tell you to pop him back. I can tell you what I'd do. I'd deck him. All right. That's unless I was really, if I had not practiced pulpit decorum and had upset some reverend, and he reached out and slapped me, I would turn the other cheek. Bad as it hurt, I would turn the other cheek. Myrtle from Michigan. St. John says, if we care about worldly things, then we do not belong to God. Am I wrong to give thanks to God every morning for the sun, flowers, breeze, birds, and such things? Of course you are. That's fine. That's things that are in the world, but they were created by God. What he means by worldly things, is the very word we were using today, rudiments, okay? That means things of the world that are evil, okay? That rather than being spiritual and following God, that you follow lusts of the world, then that's what it's talking about. Not the beautiful creation of God. Those are things of the world, not the figure of speech, worldly things. A worldly person, as it is mentioned here through this figure of speech, is a rogue, okay, of the world, could probably care less about God, okay? That's what it's talking about. God's creation is beautiful, and it's of him. Rebecca from Arkansas, where do I read about the four hidden dynasties in the Bible? Zechariah chapter 1. They are the four hidden dynasties that are written there just before the four carpenters. Now, those four hidden dynasties are, and it won't be written there, but this is what they are, it's education, political, financial, and last but not least, religious. Satan uses those things. The first thing he used on Christ was religion, scripture. Edward from Virginia, where can I find in the Bible that God created each race in 8 days? Well, he didn't create each race in 8 days. He created all of the races on the sixth day. Okay? I feel there is a possibility that he might have created part on the fourth day, be that as it may. Okay? The people that grow their rice, their wheat, rather, from the water and so forth. But he gave each of them, made fishers, hunters, and they are called men, Adam, okay, and children. But then he realized he did not have, and this is in the Hebrew manuscript, so you would have to either have my teaching on it, or you would have to be able to read the Hebrew manuscripts for yourself, or have an instruct. Well, if you get the video on the first six chapters of Genesis, you have it drawn out, and you are taught the difference between Adam and Eth-Ha-Adam. That's two different peoples. And Eth-Ha-Adam was created on the eighth day. Okay, and Eve, his mate, was created there. God created all the races. He's not ashamed of any of them. He created us like he wanted us. And he looked, and it was good. Diane from Maryland, how will we spend eternity in heaven? How will we spend it? We'll be working and doing for the Father. And plenty to do and sharing his wonderful life. Now, the main thing you want to worry about mostly now is not what we'll be doing there, but how do you get there, okay? But heaven will be here on earth. And when you read of the changes in Revelation chapter 21 that happens to this earth, compare that to what it is today. And look at the wonder and the amazement and the beauty of God's creation, okay? Delphine from Canada. I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I was watching TV the other day, and I want to be careful here, and they had a program about homes that have spirits in them. The homeowners claim to have seen these spirits and ask a couple of psychics to come. I want to say that I have to say that spirits sometimes in certain cases can linger. Why? Who knows? It can be because of tragedy or certain other things. But a spirit cannot harm you. Okay? But it is possible. It is possible that spirits can linger. How can I say that? I do not believe that certain people are gifted where they can, for money, drum up conversations between you and loved ones gone by. That's a bunch of malarkey, okay? But every entity, every person, you have a spirit, I have a spirit, God has a spirit, Satan has a spirit, and spirits, in other words, let's take my spirit for a moment, which makes me uncomfortable to use myself, but I will. I utilize my personal spirit to put out over the ether waves to teach God's word. Okay, and it can reach people. Well, at the same time, if there is a person that is very troubled or something, that spirit could be just exactly that, troubled. There are familiar spirits mentioned in God's Word, which that's not real good. There are evil spirits. But there is not one behind every bush, and Christ gave us power over all of our enemies. So it's not something we have to be concerned about, okay? In other words, if something of this nature happens, anoint yourself, your home, and deal with it. Take care of business, okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Christ gives us, I've beheld Satan fall as a star, and I give you power over all of your enemies. Not just part of them, all of them. Okay? In Christ's name, of course. Thing of spirits is not that unusual. We all have spirits. Okay? Crystal from Virginia. My first question is, could my mother be my guardian angel if God wanted her to? Matthew chapter 18 verse 10 declares that we do have if you be one of God's elect, that you have your guardian angel. Your angel has the face of, not guardian, but your angel has the face of God at any time they choose, meaning they can get his attention to help you if you're in trouble. My second question is, can your loved ones see you from heaven on earth? They are so having such a good time, they're probably not, they could inquire, I'm sure, but they have better things to do, really, so they're not really all that concerned, and I don't want anyone to feel bad because I said that, but they are so happy, okay? Ernie from Montana. Pastor Murray, I really enjoy your ministry. Well, thank you, and your sons, thank you. Where to find the... Let me see where your question is. I would like to know where to find the devils will only be here for 5 months. Thank you, Ernie from Montana. You'll find it, first of all, in Mark 13 that Christ shortened the time. In Revelation chapter 9, you will find that Satan will be here 5 months, only 5 months, okay, through the time of the locust. Revelation chapter 9. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a lot because you enjoy studying God's Word, not man's Word, God's Word. But what's most important, God loves you for it. Do you know something? It makes His day. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. But most important, and this is most important indeed, that you stay in His Word every day, in His Word. Just a little time set aside. It's a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the